Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. We're broadcasting live on this 12th day of February 2018 in our Gregorian calendar. And of course, it is the year 5778. And if anybody's interested, we are actually in the year 5777 in the Hebrew, and it is the 27th day of Shavuot in the Hebrew calendar, and we're going to talk a little bit about the first day of Nisan, which will be March 17th. March 17th. Put that date on your calendar, and let's go ahead and read a few verses here this morning to get our broadcast going, trusting that everybody's doing well. And real quick, I want to just shout out to our dear friends Gary and Rosalie. Today is their birthday. And if you guys are out there tuning in today, happy birthday. We love you. God bless you. And by the way, our song that opens up every day with the Watchman song, that was actually written and recorded by Gary and Rosalie. They were praise and worship leaders in our church for several years in Northwest Arkansas. They are now traveling the country, and they are bringing gospel music to the ends of the nation, if you will, and around the world through their CDs and DVDs and all of that wonderful stuff. So happy birthday to Gary and Rosalie. They have honored us with their song, and we enjoy playing it every morning. So let's get into Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and here's what it says. To everything, I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, to everything, there is a season, time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And so today I want to ask you the simple question, what time is it? What time is it? There are three very popular and familiar songs that come to my mind. One was written by the group called Chicago. Does anybody really know what time it is? And does anybody really care? And then there's an old pop song called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And then, of course, the great play Romeo and Juliet. And we know that Shakespeare wrote the words to be or not to be. Man has been asking questions for a long time, and I believe our generation has come to a moment that we need to answer this question. What time is it? What time is it? And I want to go back to what I said just a moment ago about the dates that we're living in, because I have a deep concern, and I believe it is a spiritual concern, and it's a concern for the body of Christ ultimately. And I want to talk about this because it's a very interesting topic in my own spirit. Maybe it will be for you too. As I said, today, February 12th, on the Gregorian calendar, 2018, is the Hebrew date, 27 Shavat. Now, on March 17th, put that on your calendar. It's not too far away. We're talking less than 30 days away here. On March 17th, maybe just a few days over, actually, over 30 days, March 17th will be the first day of the Hebrew month Nisan. Nisan. And the first day of Nisan, according to the Bible, is the first day of a brand new year. Okay? So the first day of a brand new year in the Hebrew calendar, not the rabbinical calendar. The rabbinical calendar will tell you that the new year was back in September 30th of 2017. Okay, but we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about the Torah. The rabbis have been wrong before. They did kill Jesus Christ. So let's be careful about rabbinical tradition and just go back to what it says like in Exodus chapter 12, where God said the first day of the first month will be Nisan. And so we have a brand new year beginning in the economy of God on March 17th. Now, the reason for stressing that is in the Hebrew concordance, when you look up the number 5778, which is the year we're coming into. Again, the rabbis believe we're already there, but in God's calendar, 5778 will begin or commence on March 17th in the Gregorian calendar this year. So what is the number 5778 reveal? Well, in the Hebrew concordance, that number literally means, in all of its definition, when you boil it down, put it all together in the Hebrew, it says to the people under the covering or get under the wing, get under the wing. And when you think about scriptures in the Bible that deal with getting under the wing or getting under the covering, well, Psalm 91 is a chapter in the Bible that absolutely details this, where it actually says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Listen now to verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. That is the exact definition of the Hebrew number 5778. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Okay, so we're talking about the year 5778 that carries that exact imagery, which is telling God's people what it says in verse 1 of Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What will be under his wing will be covered by his feathers. Okay, so we're abiding under the wing, under the feather. We're in a covert. We're in a covering. There's got to be this reality. Then, of course, we're told in Isaiah chapter 26, which again, a very familiar passage of scripture to many of you, in chapter 26, verse 20 of Isaiah says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut your doors about you, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Now listen, I want you to get this imagery in your mind because I've got a serious question and a very serious concern at this moment I want to talk about. And together we'll get the wisdom of God. That's what we're praying for today, the wisdom of God, okay? Not our emotions, not our intellect, not our human reasoning, but I want the wisdom of God to be employed in our midst as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, his son. I want us to employ the wisdom of God today to answer this question. Because Isaiah tells about a time when you're supposed to enter in to your chamber, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. 21 says, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And let's think about this for a moment. So we have 5778, get under the wing, get under the covering. It's a Psalm 91 year. Okay, that's what 5778 is, a Psalm 91 year. We're told that at that time, in the Psalm 91 year, that there is a fowler, okay? There is a noisome pestilence. We're also told in verse 5 that there is terror by night. There's an arrow of affliction that flies by day. In verse 6, we're told of Psalm 91 that there's a pestilence that walks in darkness and that there is destruction that will waste at noonday. We're told in Psalm 91 in verse 7 that 1,000 shall fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us. Why? Because we're being preserved under the wing. Then we're told in verse 8 that only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Okay? So there's a tremendous amount of activity going on in the year 5778 in Psalm 91, and we happen to be the generation that's actually marching into this kind of a time. Now, the concern that I have, the question that I have was, of course, what time is it? Does anybody really know what time it is? Is it time to dance? Is it time to mourn? Is it time to laugh? Is it time to cry? Is it time to love? Is it time to hate? Is it time for peace? Is it a time for war? Is it time to get under the wing? Or is it time to step out into the atmosphere of the world? What time is it? Now, to help answer that question, I went to Matthew chapter 24, and here's what I found in Matthew chapter 24, because right now, how many of you would agree that there is a call, if you will? There's a call in the spirit to come on out. It's a new day. Everything is good. We're in reversal. There's, you know, peace and safety, security. There's transition. There's you know, come on out. This is the time, right? This is the time. That's what the world is saying. Now, we know that God has prophesied that he's going to do great things in a particular remnant of his body. We have been talking for nearly 4 months now on the plan and purpose of God for this hour, which is to baptize many members within the body of Christ with a supernatural unction to carry out his purpose in the earth. We have been studying this for 4 months. We believe it is in the atmosphere. God is foretelling what he's going to do. And there is a dispensational shift that is about to hit this earth. It's when God says from the heavens, the time is ripe, and he does something in heaven. He brings it into the earth, and it shifts everything for his purpose. We know that it was in the dispensation of the fullness of time that God sent his son in Galatians chapter 4. So we are in some form of a dispensational shift that we have to understand and recognize what it is. And we understand that in order to bring about that shift, God is going to have to release something from the heavens. And he's going to release it, as we understand it, into the body of Christ on this earth to steward this mystery that is going to be revealed. Okay, just like the apostles stewarded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit, there were thousands and thousands of people that were brought into the kingdom of God. And of course, the apostles had to steward that harvest at that time. So stewardship is involved. We know that every steward must be found faithful. That's what God's testing our hearts for right now, is our stewardship. Will we be faithful in little things? Will we be faithful in big things? Are we sanctified, set apart? Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Are we purging out the leaven? Are we becoming more holy in the likeness of Christ? You know, are we carrying our cross? Are we doing the daily work that God has called us to by faith, following him, and becoming vessels prepared for his glory? And before I read Matthew chapter 24, I want to just bring 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of our favorite verses in our ministry is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the lesser dishonorable things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, listen now, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. If there's ever been a time when this scripture is being employed, it's right now, that God is looking for vessels that will be prepared for good works, meet for the master's use. But these vessels are vessels who have sanctified themselves and purged themselves from the dishonorable things of the human nature. Now, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read out of verse 23 to 25. Matthew 24, 23 to 25. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, he said, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." Now, what does it mean here? In verse 26, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, or behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not." What is he saying? What is Jesus saying? I am hearing in my spirit that there's coming a time when the set apart saints of God walking in the world, but who are not of the world, using the things of the world, but not abusing it. In other words, not depending on it or becoming so connected to it that it's going to take hold, that there are people in this earth that belong to God who are hidden in Christ Jesus. They are preserved in Christ Jesus. They are not the friend of the world. They are a friend of God. They are in covenant with God. They have no covenant, no allegiance to this world, except to be salt and light and to love every human being on this earth, to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation, like what was done for us. And so there is a time coming that there's going to be an attempt of the devil to draw God's people covering, to draw God's people out into the open. And there's going to be such a dramatic theme, if you will, signs in the heavens, great signs and wonders being performed, that people are going to be awed by what they see. And they're going to hear words and they're going to hear speeches that are going to say, wow, everything is new. It's time to come out into the open. It's over. It's ready now. Now we could go out and be free in the world in which we live. Well, Jesus said, when that time comes, be careful. Now, what concerns me is that this is kind of the mantra of the moment that we're in right now for a lot of people, and yet we're moving into the year 5778. And 5778 is a time to get under the wing, to get into the covering, to go into your chambers and shut the door. Now, what I believe God's word is revealing is that this is time to enter into the chambers, shut the door. This is time to be in the upper room. Listen, listen why, okay? This is not a fear-based moment, okay? We're not talking about a fear-based hiding. We're talking about a people that are already hidden in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3. It says we are hid in Christ. There's a tremendous amount of scripture that confirms that. But The reason why I believe this is the time to enter into the covert, enter into the chamber, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. This is the time to enter into the ark. This is the time to, get under the wing, get under the cover. The Holy Spirit baptism that we've been talking about will come to those who are gathered together in the secret place, like in the book of Acts chapter 2. Again, we're letting the Bible interpret itself. It was in Acts chapter 2 that the holy saints of God were separated in an upper room. They were out of view of everybody else. They were in the upper room. They had been praying. They had been waiting. They had been excited. They'd been told by Jesus 50 days earlier that you should wait until you be endued with power from on high. And then in that upper room 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered in one place, apart from the view of men, then came the baptism. And I believe what God is saying in like manner, I have told you and revealed a mystery to you in my word. Don't go out because you hear the sound of the world and fair speeches and all is well. Because repentance in the world has not been sufficient to stay off the tide of judgment that's going to hit the earth. I mean, the world is not humbling itself. It's not falling on its knees. It's not broken. It's not confessing the sins of our nation or the nations of the earth. That's not happening. Okay, so Christians are hearing the world is now fighting to turn and become, or our nation fighting to turn and become a great nation again. But until sin is confessed and sin is repented of, and till we see the national repentance of our national leaders bringing the nation to its knees in a revival, that in a holy moment, you have to be very careful what's going on in this world. But that does not, just because the world is doing what it's doing, does not necessitate that God is quenched. He's never quenched. You know that, and I know that. So I believe God's saying through his word that this is the time to get under the wing. This is time to stay under the covering. This is time to be in the secret place, to enter into the chambers. And while we are there in a corporate gathering, that's when God will pour out his spirit that we've been talking about to super empower the saints to come down out of the upper room, if you will. Then he's going to release us into this earth in a magnificent display of his divine glory. Now, the secret place, listen to this. The secret place is not a fear-based place, but it is a place where the presence of God is known. And the word tells us that there is fullness of joy in his presence. So because God is saying to Noah, enter into the ark, or because God is saying through Isaiah, enter into your chambers and shut the door, because God is saying in Psalm 91, get under the wing, dwell in the secret place, he's not saying this is fear-based. This is the wisdom of God to tell his people to get into a certain area that God has provided and prepared for them. But in that place will be his presence, where there will be provision, there will be fullness of joy, there will be an outpouring and a baptism and an anointing of the Holy Spirit and an unction within the church, the ecclesia, not for the world. And it will be happening in the wilderness. It will be happening behind closed doors, where the saints of God will be getting strengthened by what God is about to pour out into them. This is not for the world. This is something God's doing in the church in little remnant groups around the world. As they gather together and pray, there's something God's going to do, like in the book of Acts, but the book of Acts will be like a first fruits in comparison to the double portion that God's about to do in this hour. So the thing that I wanted to talk about this morning is knowing what time it is. You and I can prematurely step out into the world and say, yeah, everything is back to the way it's supposed to be. That would be faulty in my understanding. That would not be the right way to go. That would be a deception. Now, did you notice, by the way, in Matthew 24, going back to verse 24, Matthew 24:24, that it says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Remember that phrase, great signs and wonders. And now turn with me to Revelation chapter 13, and I want to read something because there's a connection to Matthew 24:24. It says in verse 11, I beheld another beast, this is Revelation 13:11, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. How does he do it? How does he get everybody to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed? Verse 13, he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So here you're going to have a demonic entity, a demonic spirit doing miracles that are going to be so deceptive because he has the horns of a lamb, but he has the speech of a dragon. And the speech of a dragon, by the way, is what you find in the Garden of Eden when the serpent, the dragon, the devil, he swayed Eve by his persuasive speech to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So speaking like a dragon is not roaring with fire coming out of his mouth. It is the persuasive, seductive speech, and it is going to be Christ-centered. It's because if you go back to Matthew 24, Jesus said there'll be false Christs and false prophets, but they're going to do miracles and signs, great wonders. Now, we're moving into a time where this Antichrist, satanic spirit, is going to come with counterfeit signs and wonders, false miracles, and through them, he is going to deceive the people on the earth. And people are going to be saying, look, look at these miracles. This must be God. I mean, what is one of the miracles? One of the miracles, he calls fire down from heaven. Well, who did that in the Bible? That was Elijah. Elijah called fire down out of heaven, remember? And when he was battling with the false prophets on the Mount Carmel. And so this counterfeit Christ that is coming to the earth, this counterfeit spirit, is going to have power to do the same miracles that others had done, but they're not going to be in truth. They're going to be in deception. And remember, even the elect can be deceived by these things. So he's going to cause deception to come on the whole earth by the miracles which he had power to do, saying to them that dwell on the earth. I'm back to Revelation 13. Here's what the demonic second beast will say. Remember, looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. In other words, he looks like a gentle little lamb. He looks good. It looks right. He's got the speech of a dragon. He's got the soothing speech and the serpentile wisdom. I mean, it's smooth. And he says this to those that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right. And he causes all, verse 16, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right. So the question again, what time is it? Right now, we know that the Bible is telling us that there will be a time when false Christs, false prophets, false miracles, false signs and wonders will begin to become exuberant, and many people will believe that this is of God, and they will go out, and they'll connect with what's going on, but it's a total deception by the dragon who comes as an angel of light. And that is how Satan comes, as an angel of light. It will look good. It will look like Jesus. It will sound like Jesus. But then you go back to Corinthians, and again Paul wrote, if anybody brings another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel. So there is another Jesus. There is another spirit, and there is another gospel. Means there's a counterfeit. And that counterfeit is going to be greater. It's going to be almost indistinguishable in these last days because of the level of deception that's going to be going forth. Now, do I say all of these things to put fear or concern? No. I'm trying to make a point here that I'm reading in God's Word and the mysteries of God's numbers in the Hebrew and the concordance in God's Word. Everything the Word of God is saying about this moment is get into your ark. Get into the secret place. Come under the wing. Get into your chamber. Shut the door. Stop playing footsies with the world. Stop being so involved and outside where you're just out there. Okay, now, that doesn't mean that we don't continue to live our lives. It doesn't mean we don't shine light and we're not salt. It doesn't mean that. What it means is it's a very spiritual preservation. Do you want to be preserved from the times that we're in? So if we want to be preserved, we have to go back and remember the year 2018, also this year 5778, there will be a necessity for those who are going to go through the year 2018 to get under the wing. And this is the Psalm 91 year. And the pressure will be felt around the world. And this will be a year of pestilence, war, famine, violence, and immoral depravity unknown before. Only those who abide in the secret place will be preserved from the great deception that will be employed against the mind of man. So the imperative of the moment is to walk in holiness, which can only be accomplished by faith, knowing that all sin has been confessed and repentance, which is turning away from it, has gone forth. So, saints of God, I believe it's time to arise and understand the times. I am believing that the year 2018 or the year 5778 will be the year of great pressure. Not the greatest of all, but it will be a year where we're going to see the winds blowing. You know those four winds in the book of Revelation chapter 7? You know those trumpets that begin to sound and there's upheaval in the sea and the sky on earth and amongst creation in Revelation chapter 8? I believe that we've stepped into the paradigm, and the devil is out there parading to the world and blowing the trumpet to the world, come on out. And I hear God saying, no, 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 no. I told you these times would come. I told you they would be deceptive. Beware of people that are telling you to go on out and live your best life now. I told you that there would be a time that you need to get down under and you need to shut the door. And there in the secret place will I perform a work in you that will exponentially thrust you and cause you to move out when the door opens into a new paradigm where the light and glory will be manifesting all over the world. In other words, if I were to describe this, it would be like God is saying, all right, everybody over here. And we say, well, where's over here? Well, it's in the wilderness. It's in the secret place. It's under the wing. It's in the ark. Come on in and shut the door. And then you shut the door. You're gathered together with the Lord. The whole world is doing its thing. The whole world is going through its motions. But then the Lord is now empowering his people in the secret place. And that adversity, that wind, that famine, that pestilence is moving in the earth. And they will be released from their ark, from the secret place, from the chambers. And then God will do what he's been telling us is going to be done. These are my concerns. These are my thoughts. Is it time to go out? Is it time to get in? Is it time to, you know, come out from the covering? Or is it time to get into the covering? What time is it? And what does it mean to you and I? Well, the lines are open. The number to call is 818-369-0326. We welcome your calls. I would like to hear from you. What time is it for you? Where is it that God is calling you to live? What side of this moment are you on? Can we recognize that this is a time, and again, this is not a fear-based entering into the chamber. It is the wisdom of God that is connected to his eternal purpose for his people. Again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. And if you're already on the line, just press 1 on the dial pad. I'll make sure I bring you right into the broadcast. You're listening to The Watchmen here on the Omega Radio Network. But today, we're only broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio because of our remote location that we have been in. So we're going to wait for your call this morning. The question is, what time is it? Is it time to get under the wing? Is it time to get into the ark? Is it time to go unto the chamber and shut the door? Or is it time to come out and look at the signs, wonders, and miracles of the fair-speeched dragon? you know, he has the mouth of a dragon. I want you to understand something. This dragon had the ability to seduce Mrs. Adam in the Garden of Eden. There was no imperfection in Mrs. Adam. Mr. and Mrs. Adam were created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And yet this dragon, in his persuasive, seductive ability, was able to seduce her into believing a lie. How much more in these last days will the dragon, which is revealed in Scripture, cause people to believe a lie? I want to talk about it. I need you to make that call. 818-369-0326 is the number to call, and press 1 on your dial pad. I'm waiting for you. And I think what's going to happen is a number of people are going to say, well, Pastor, I think you're right. I think it's time to get under the wing. I think it's time to get into the covering. I think it's time to go into the chambers and shut the door. I think it's time to enter into the ark. Yes, I believe that. The Word of God is clear that this year there seems to be a revelation of what's coming. The flu epidemic that's sweeping the nation right now has killed how many people? We've seen fires. We've seen hurricanes. We've seen mudslides. We have seen all kinds of destructive things going on in the world in which we live. But 2018 is going to eclipse them all. And to help us with our conversation, our first call coming in from area code 605, I believe that's South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. And welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, it's very much witnessed with my spirit about the time element in which we are in. Because yesterday, I'm working with a lot of my library that I have and tapes and stuff like that, and it's cassette tapes. It was back in the 90s. And I pulled this one out, and it was, I had told a dream at this one ministry that the Lord gave me back in 1990, and I related it to him. So I listened to it, and it had been prior to the time that Dimitri Tudeman had been at our home for about 11 days. And then I found another tape in there that I'd put away, and it was one that my daughter had then in 1904. And I thought, my, I got to hear these. Both of the tapes were dreams. Now, these were dreams that were given to us within that four-year period, and it was about war in America. And it was so astounding. I thought, oh, I should have written this down too. But I heard it over again as I related it and my daughter related it. And it had to do with missiles and troops in our land. Now, it's very extensive, so I don't want to take up any time because I know you have other people calling in. But it was back there that was warning. So now we must be in a time period that this is going to come to pass.
Well, Kathy, let's just look at what's happening with the Winter Olympics right now. You have North Korea, South Korea shaking hands. To me, that's likened unto a miracle in our world, where just a few months ago it was about North Korea dropping a bomb or releasing a nuclear weapon, and now they're shaking hands. That is the deception. That is the delusion. That's the false miracle that I'm talking about, where now everything is okay, everything is fine, you know, the threat of war is over. And it's when people say, according to the Word of God, peace and safety, that sudden destruction comes. But the idea of Korea, South Korea shaking hands is to pull people out of their understanding, pull people out of their knowledge, pull people out of their wisdom to have remained preserved and hidden in Christ, but with the idea of everybody shaking hands and being good buddies now and everything is good, the world is happy, the Olympics are on. You know, that's the idea of letting your guard down. That's all about stepping out into an environment of everything is okay. And this is the very climate that Jesus warned us about.
Yes, it's like a for people, it's a brainwashing, if you want to come down to a common word, really. To the people that are not aware of what the Bible teaches, they will suck that all up. They really will. And the other thing, oh, if God wasn't giving us warnings yesterday, I don't know what to call it. So Ken, he goes in and to the bedroom, with the master bedroom, and we have a TV in there, and he's sitting there, and I said, what is this about? This is all about North Korea. And it was about the two journalist women that were confined there for a period of months, and she got in there to North Korea, and she saw all what was happening to the common people. And you know what I saw? National Geographic is what she was with, but she went in as a medical aide, and she got in there with a doctor from India. She was Korean in her nationality, but she was American. And she slipped in there, and she got all this information, and National Geographic had it on last night. It was about a one-hour program. I says, my God, look at this. I said, how evil this man is. And no kidding, they are trained to worship this man. And a doctor from India went over and performed 1,000 cataract removals for their eyes, because they don't have no medical over there. That's what communism is all about. And so he let him in, and these people then could see after the cataracts were removed. And you know who they praised? The leader of that country, that I don't know how to pronounce his name, but that
Kim Jong-un.
Guy that's in, yeah, that's it. And so they literally praised him. They have pictures, and they had to bow down, and they said, praise our leader for bringing that man in. And they are taught to worship. And you know what? It had places underneath what they would say then. And one man, after he got his cataracts removed, because he was going blind, he said, oh, I thank my leader. I praise him that I have this done, and I will kill every American I see. I said, oh, my God, Ken, this is horrible. I said, this is God that we saw this. I hope everybody turns on that station, and it's on a public TV or whatever you want to get it at, National Geographic, and you can get it. It's all about what really is happening in North Korea.
And, Kathy, isn't it amazing that here we have a mini prototype, a type and shadow of a people that are worshiping a man and calling him a god, when the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that the whole world will worship the beast, who have received the mark of the beast, the number of his name, they will be worshiping. This is the whole world. And a lot of people are coming up with an understanding right now that this kind of worship is going to go towards the realm of artificial intelligence, that there is going to be a worship in the works of man's hands to be able to bring new eyes, new ears, new heart. And what the artificial intelligence crowd is telling everybody is that they are doing what religion could not do, what philosophy could not do, what government could not do. And the technocrats, the scientists of this age, are saying, we're going to step in now, and we're going to do what your religion, your Christianity, your Buddhism, or whatever, none of your stuff was able to fix this world. It's as broken as ever. And they're going to say things like, you Christians who thought you were so far ahead of everything, look at the condition of the world. Your Christianity has done nothing to preserve this world. And so this is the moment for them to step in. It's a ripe moment for them, and to begin to extol their works. And they're going to be beginning to bring longevity to life, healing cancer, healing diseases, opening the eyes of the blind. They're going to do this, and the world is going to worship them, saying, look, and they're going to turn away from God because the spirit behind it is Antichrist in nature. What an amazing moment.
Absolutely. After I watched this one-hour presentation by National Geographic that was on, I became so irritated and angry with this man. I said, my God, there has been a brainwashing, and it is a total, that's right, an Antichrist spirit is there. And then I thought, God, those people, I wonder, are you going to give them a chance to know the truth? Because there was little children that are worshiping him, and they have not known yet about Jesus. So there has to be something that's going to let some of those innocent people that haven't been brainwashed to worship that leader to hear the truth.
Well, Kathy, you bring up another amazing point, because this is God's purpose. Remember about 4 months ago when the Lord said, I'm getting ready to speed things up, I'm going to rev things up, I'm going to accelerate my purpose in the earth. And it was all in the realm of let there be light, and that there would become an illuminating bursting of wisdom, understanding, comprehension, which is God's light that produces happiness, joy, and peace. And that God would effulgence, he would outray, he would put on display the glory of the divine light of Christ. In other words, there will be an ability for the men and women of God through faith in Jesus Christ, while the world is denying the church, its authenticity because of its lack of present power, that God is going to empower his people in the upper room, in the ark, in the secret place, in their chambers, and then he's going to release them with this illuminating light where people will have one more chance to see the glory of Jesus Christ, not artificial intelligence, not science, and that people will know Jesus like the world has never known before, and many will come out of the darkness into the light as an end-time harvest before the great eclipse will come and that great tribulation, which now some people are denying the great tribulation, which I'm very sad to hear that there are people out there that once were a voice that are now saying that there is no such thing as a great tribulation. Well, the book of Revelation is the final prophecy, and it talks all about a great tribulation. So, yes, there will be God's grace, mercy, compassion, and love, but it's coming through the church, and the church has to be locked in with the Lord to get this, kind of like the three disciples that were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember where he took them? He took them up and apart into a high mountain. He didn't do it among all the others. The other nine disciples were trying to cast a demon out of a little boy. But these three were up in a high place, apart from everybody, and they were seeing the effulgencing or the outrain or the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And I believe God's going to take some people up and out of the way, and they're going to receive an anointing and a baptism. And when they come down the mountain, I believe we're going to see that display of God's glory.
Well, praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, because he will be magnified and they will give allegiance to God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because if this doesn't go the way the Word of God says it, there won't be many people in heaven. And God says he would that none should perish. Hallelujah. So thank God we got that great thing to look forward to. And even though some people may have to be martyrs through this whole cleansing, I believe that God has a remnant.
Well, amen. And again, that remnant is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Kathy, thank you for calling in. God bless you, dear sister. I love the conversation. And we'll be talking again this week. So what a great call coming in from South Dakota with Ken and Kathy Bruns. The lines are open. Area code 818-369-0326. We're waiting for your call wherever you may be calling from. Anywhere in the world, the number is 818-369-0326. And we would like to have this conversation continue on with you. And when you do call in, make sure you press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure that I see you on the screen and that you have something you would like to share. And that's the way we do it here. So it is Monday. It is the 12th day of February, 2018. And what is being spoken of here? I believe that our conversation is kind of separating what's light from darkness, what's truth from deception. I think we should be cautious. I think we should be on the watch. I think we should be sober. That's how God called us to be. That's how Jesus created us. His final warnings were watch, pray, be alert, be watchful, be sober. And so I just cannot imagine anybody that is just walking around, you know, not thinking, not aware, not cautious, especially in the days of darkness and deception like we are seeing in our world today. What kind of a day are we looking forward to? Well, 2018 appears through God's word to be a year of pestilence, a year of war, a year of famine, violence, and immoral depravity. We're going to have to walk through all of this, and in order to do it, we need to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And now we have Pastor Ken Wagner calling into the program from Northwest Arkansas. Let's bring him in. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today?
Well, I'm blessed, Pastor. We're having a heat wave over here. It's 19 degrees. Sunshine. I'm running around in my pajamas outside. It's beautiful.
Woo, get your swimming trunks on.
Yes, a good idea. That's good. I like that. I'll have to do that next.
19 degrees.
I am so sorry. I don't want to take away from the message that you're bringing on here. We're joking about it, but because it's a very serious subject that you're talking about. You know, Pastor, there's so many things that we could do out there. A lot of good works. We could preach. We can hide. We can do any number of things. There's no two ways about it. And all are good in their proper time. So the question is, what do we need to go ahead and do? We need to seek the wisdom of the Father, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to know exactly what we're supposed to do. We can jump out ahead of our time and cause more problems than it's worth. We can sit back and do nothing and make it even worse as well later on. We need to really seriously consider sitting down and having a quiet time with the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, what do I need to do? When do I need to do it? How do I do it? What aids do I need to help supply all the things that you're asking me to go ahead and do? These are the things, and to me, that's the only way that we can go, because we can get out of step so easily on here and cause more problems than it's worth. So seek the will of the Holy Spirit and the Father and know exactly what we need to do.
Pastor Ken, that's great admonition and exhortation. And what I was seeing while you were talking is everything we're talking about, getting under the wing, being in the covering, go into your chamber, shut the door, enter into the ark. To me, what I see is a very spiritual preservation here. I see the secret place as a very deep spiritual place. I see the chamber as a very deep spiritual place in our hearts. And I see the ark as a very deep spiritual place. And this is all as we go. I think there will be a time where people will actually enter into preserved places like the wilderness that God has prepared in Revelation 12 and other places around the world. But right now, what I'm seeing is entering to those secret places and doing something. And here's what I believe God's calling us to do, and that is to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, meaning that it is time to experience. And I want to say this word with caution, because we've heard it so many times it may lose its value, and I don't want that to happen. But I really believe that as we go and we're in the secret place, in our hearts, in the spirit, that there is a cleansing. There is a sanctification that is so deeply necessary to this moment that we are living in. For example, if we go out today, which we're all going to do, most of us are going to go out and live life, but you could remain in the secret place while you're doing that. What is dangerous is going out there and having the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. In other words, entering into a worldly condition of soul, mind, will, intellect, thought, emotion, rather than staying in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if we can live in the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, that means everywhere we go, everything we do, we will be preserved because we are in the covering. We are in the Spirit. And that's how we're told to live, in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. It's when we get into our flesh and we begin to become carnal in our thinking, in our appetites, in our worldliness, in the deep corridors of our hearts where the depravity remains from the fall of Adam. We've all been broken. We've all been depraved. We've all been undone as it is. And the salvation of Jesus Christ is the ability to bring us into a better state of existence. So what you're saying is very true. And it's staying in the Spirit, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and sanctification. Sanctification at the deepest parts of our existence. And this is where the cross, Pastor Ken, has to be most powerful in the lives of believers. Slaying the enmity, crucifying the flesh. Your thoughts?
People watch a TV show sometimes and there's an awful lot of static going on, or it doesn't come in clear, or a message doesn't come in clear on your cell phone or your radio. That's what I believe you're beginning to talk about with all the clatter going on around us. And if we're not cleaned out, if we're not receptive, we don't have room to receive everything that the Spirit is telling us, we'll never hear it clearly enough to know exactly what we need to do. And I believe that's why it's so important, like you said, to begin to purify ourselves, to become one with the Lord and so in every way possible, so that we can hear clearly, understand clearly, and do exactly what we are supposed to do. So that requires time on our part, effort on our part, time to set aside time for the Lord, time for reading the Scriptures, time to have that knowledge, to listen to broadcasts like this, to give us thoughts and ideas as well, and then to sit back and pursue them and see what the Spirit of God tells each and every one of us. That's our objectives. That is what I believe we really need to do.
Amen. And for in my departing words for my conversation until Patricia Joy comes on the air immediately following us is, remember the words of Jesus to his generation when they said, "What sign will you show us?" You see, people are geared towards signs and wonders. They want miracles. They want the supernatural. They want something that, you know, is so sparkly and gold dusty. You know, they want something. And Jesus said, there will no sign be given to you except the sign of Jonah, which was about the death, burial, and resurrection. And in our generation, what Christian men and women, you and I, what we need to be most concerned with is not the supernatural, not the worldliness, not the materialism of the world, not the things of the world. What we need is not some supernatural, miraculous thing, but we need to move in the realm of cleansing, washing, holiness, purifying, perfecting, deliverance, healing, restoration of our existence. So this is the move of God, Pastor Ken, and I appreciate your calls. We have simply come to a point. We've got about a minute left. Any final words or thoughts from you?
Keep up the good work. Your messages are a blessing to many, and it really gives us a lot of room for thought of what we need to do. So that's important, and I thank you for it.
Well, God bless you, Pastor Ken. I thank that. That's a great way to end the broadcast. I want to say to all of our listeners out there that have been tuned in today, thanks for tuning in, and I hope our conversation stirred something in you. Remember, stay in your secret place, in your heart. Stay under the shadow of his wings everywhere you go. Stay and get into that chamber, that secret place where you're out there, but you're hidden in the Lord. Live an abundant life. Enjoy every moment of your life. God has given you a great gift. Do not be afraid. This is just a moment of wisdom. Let's get the answers. Be salt and light everywhere we go. Love like we've never loved before, particularly those members of the body of Christ. But above all, let's get healed. Let's get delivered. Let's know what it's like to live the out resurrection among the spiritually dead like our Lord Jesus Christ did. Now coming onto the broadcast is Patricia Joy Xavier and her program. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It is an incredible time to get our hearts prepared for the coming of the Lord. What are we talking about? What was Pastor Vincent speaking of? He was speaking of preparation. And why? Because the scriptures tell us that's what to do. You know, in Thessalonians 2:1, Paul describes the end of the world and Christ's second coming. He says that great suffering and trouble lie ahead, but evil will not prevail because Christ will return to judge all people. Although Paul's presence, a few signs of the end times and speaks of it, his emphasis, like Jesus, is not on specific or current events, but on each person's need to prepare for Christ's return. How? By living rightly day by day. If we are ready, we won't have to be concerned about when Christ will return. God is in control of all events. And so it is the heart of God to get us prepared at the time we're in. It is his desire, and body of Christ and folks that are listening, this is why we are on the air. We are trying to encourage you to be prepared spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way for the coming of the Lord and the things that we will need to go through to be prepared and rightfully ready. Rightfully ready. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which you are able to purchase on Amazon. If you are moved by what you hear and you want to continue to open the book and discuss with me these various things and follow with me. So previously, we also discussed the various ruling spirits under Satan's command and the lesser devils who act under the authority of the ruling devils. Why is it important to know? Because we need to fight the good fight in order to overcome every bondage and stronghold within our life. So under the authority of the ruling spirits are lesser devils, and we need to understand how to do warfare. We are covered and we are blessed by the Spirit of the living God. But again, understanding and knowledge is imperative. The Word tells us, the beautiful Word of God, my people, not the people of the world, but my people perish from a lack of knowledge. And knowledge is imperative, always has been, but more so now than ever before. And in my book, we covered some of the most common symptoms found in those who are more visibly afflicted, such as mental disorders and abnormalities. This chapter that I'm reading now will focus on the actual instructions of the ministry of deliverance and how you can be used as a vessel of God to set the captives free. Jesus Christ sets the captives free. Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. And Jesus Christ said, what I did, you shall do also, because I leave to send the Holy Spirit to do what? To set the captives free, to overcome bondage, which is sin in our life, to walk as overcomers. And these things we should know. So before we begin, let us be sure of the foundation in our hearts. This is absolutely imperative to do. You must belong to Jesus without compromise. Hear me? Without compromise. And compromise is a very strong move of the enemy within most Christians so that he can have them lukewarm rather than hot for God. So we, if we belong to Jesus, we must know that we are to walk without compromise. and without reservation. And you must believe in the power of God as given by the Holy Spirit. You must understand it. You must know it. Now, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the authority granted to you in the name of Yeshua Jesus, you are a vessel ready to be used by your Father. Are you desiring to be used by your Father? Are you not wanting to be used mightily in these times so you know your purpose on earth? What is the use of coming on this earth, even in the natural, if you do not understand your purpose and reason for being? You are a vessel ready to be used by your Father as never before because of the times we are in. So I would want, as a child of the living God, to serve him. And I would want to be used by him. I hope you do too. I hope you're not compromising with the world and being used by them rather than you showing them the work of God in a most magnificent and powerful way that the world has never seen and many in Christianity have not seen. Now, do not take these foundational requirements too lightly that I have mentioned. Avoiding the necessary preparation for deliverance may result in adverse consequences, folks. You don't want to go there. As seen in the account of the Jewish exorcist, remember, in the Acts, in the book of Acts 19:13-17, as pointed out in earlier chapters, we in our natural flesh are no match for the deceptions of Satan. We must have our feet well grounded in our faith in Christ and permit the Holy Spirit to use us for the common good of the church. If you have any love in your heart, you will want to be used for the common good of the church. You would want to edify. You would want to encourage the body of Christ. You would want to do so to all fellow citizens of Christ. You would want to encourage them in every way. That is love. You would want to submit to one another in this love. You will want to submit to Christ and what he has asked us to do and encouraged us to do when we come on the earth as born to do his will. And we have as a body of Christ. And what was that encouragement? It was the kingdom of God. And what is in the kingdom of God? What is the structure of the kingdom of God? Is to heal the sick, open blind eyes, set the captives free, bring deliverance from demonic spirits, and to help them to overcome the evil one. Is that a wrong thing? Even raise the dead? This is a calling to every Christian who believes. And yet when we see just a few little miracles, we get excited. Body of Christ, we have to be beyond that now. It is time to rise up as a power as never before, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power that has been granted to us through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We have been saving souls, and that's a good thing. But we want those souls to be totally and completely delivered for the times we are in if we want to go through and become the overcomers we have been called to be the bride of Christ we have been called to be, without spot, without wrinkle. We have to heed this warning that I'm bringing forth right now. Do not think this is some religious exercise that I'm talking about. It is without question a struggle against the powers of darkness that you've heard in the radio program of Pastor Vincent Xavier, whose primary purpose, these powers of darkness, whose primary purpose is to come into the Christian's life to steal what? Our peace, our joy, to kill how? Sickness, disease, destruction, and to destroy our very Christian stand. This is serious business, and I don't believe it's talked about in the church enough. Oh, we hear about faith in prosperity, in faith in even not sinning any further, but we have to go deeper and further. Because of the times we're in, we have to understand the purpose of darkness. We must understand the wiles of the enemy, which is said in the Word of God. Because he'll come in to kill, steal, and destroy. Because he hates Christ within us. Now let us continue with the actual application of this work. Let's get into the know-how rather than just the knowing about it. When people are seeking help, present themselves to you, and they probably will in the church you go to, people you have met as Christians, most of them will not be totally aware that the help they are seeking is spiritual in nature. Most often, they will think their problems stem from persecution by others. When I'm in ministry, that's what I hear. When I start bringing people into deliverance, the first thing they start talking about is the persecution that they have by others within their family members, within the church, and on and on and on. So this is what they're going to believe is their problem, because in the heart of their heart, they are victims. And so many Christians have become victimized to believe that they are victims and not overcomers. So that is going to be probably what most of them will be involved with when they come to you for help. Or there'll be a variety of other reasons. Their awareness is dulled by their senses, yet they are desiring help. Are you going to be the one to help? Now, yes, receiving Jesus Christ is wonderful, and they have already done so, or they wouldn't be there with you in church. But we're talking about now bringing them into full deliverance, walking in their high place in the Holy Spirit, being overcomers God called them to be. So you should be aware that the person was sent to you by the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God is preparing the person's heart to receive his precious gift of freedom. Not just gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, which are wonderful and incredible, but unless you're walking in freedom of heart, mind, spirit, and soul, you are not going to be used mightily by God as you want to be. You will be just as much in bondage. But we here are speaking of a greater work, a more perfected work of the Holy Spirit. To be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. To be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And what do I mean by perfect? Do I mean by perfection of how you comb your hair or keep your home or keep your car? No. I'm talking about being mature and complete. And that's what the word perfect means. So preparing the person's heart to receive his precious gift of freedom so that they can be perfect as their heavenly Father is perfect, so that they may be holy as their heavenly Father is holy. Not talked about enough in the church, folks. And they're going to miss it if they don't grab hold of God's perfect will at this time. However, you must also be aware that the person will be influenced by two spirits. Excuse me. First, the Holy Spirit, slave. And second, the unholy spirit, whose design is to keep the person enslaved. Now you may say, well, I don't know if that's altogether true that we can walk that way, but Paul cautioned the Ephesians that they fight not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present darkness, rulers of an unseen world and many wicked spirits. The same is true for Christians today. Folks, it hasn't changed. Do you find yourself oppressed and depressed with wounds so deep and pain so fierce that your spiritual life is crippled? What's that? Do you read the Bible, pray, and seek counsel seemingly without relief? Still the same old problems it's been since you've been a born-again Christian? Well, born-again means exactly that, changed, born again. If you feel that you fight a spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded you, putting you into a state of confusion. Satan uses confusion to keep you where you are. What is the truth? You are grasping for the truth, but you stay in that state of confusion because it's double-mindedness. You know what? The problem may be beyond psychology into spiritual warfare. The devil has no legal right to the true Christian, but it is up to the Christian to defend his or her rights for which Christ has already paid. Do we get it? Do we understand what he has done for us when he shed his blood on the cross? It is so victorious, so wonderful, so unbelievable that we have a hard time believing in the heart of hearts. We say it. We proclaim it. We read about it in the scriptures. We hear the minister talk about it. But do we really believe it? That we have been totally and completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that there is no sin in us, unless, of course, we open that door one more time to lie, to think incorrectly, unholy, to be angry and anxious. The Bible says be angry, but do not go to sleep in anger. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. The Bible tells us that that which is not faith is sin. Sin. So are we there again? Or are we going to continue to fight the warfare and overcome everything I just mentioned? Anger, anxiety, fear, sin is the basis of it all. Christ has already paid the price for you to walk victoriously without fear. And too many Christians are in fear. They won't admit it, but it's down in the core of their heart. And the Bible says, I don't know how many times to fear not. But you see, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Do you understand that fear is a spirit? It comes upon you without you realizing it when you have not the faith that is necessary for the moment. Cast it out. You have not a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind, not one that is crippled and double-minded and confused. 1 minute you're saying, I am saved. The next minute, you're in sin. I didn't mean it to be that way. And yes, it is a process. But body of Christ, how long are we going to go through the process? Time to be the overcomers he called us to be. And what do we overcome? The flesh, the world, and the devil. I'm speaking now, that God offers deliverance. The Holy Spirit enlightens Christians, enlightens us of our rights. But not all of us, not all believers understand those rights. They often don't know they are already victorious. It takes just one incident, and they forget the victory, and Satan wins one more time. Deliverance is the Christian Bill of Rights, and I wrote this book to inform you of your rights as a believer. Learn how to exercise and fight for your rights, not in the courthouses of this world that so many of you go to when it is told to us in 1 Corinthians not to, but in the courthouse of heaven. That's where you want to do your battling. That's where you want to fight on. I'll tell you, it is your time now to rise up victorious as never before. You are the victor. You are not a victim. You are not a victim of your circumstances. You are victorious over your circumstances. There is a preparation for deliverance that I want to talk to you about. Bring yourself and the person needing deliverance. Let's go back into the actuality of it. Bring yourself and the person needing deliverance into agreement with God by evoking the name of Jesus Christ over the proceedings. Don't take this lightly. This is incredibly important. Ask for his guidance and protection, knowing that the demonic spirits are all liars and boasters, full of pride and threats. Be always watchful and discerning, lest any time they attempt to deceive you, and they're getting very good at it, they have been unleashed portals of hell itself to come as great deceivers. So good are they at it, because they have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They understand the working of mankind. There are familiar spirits that go from generation to generation in every bloodline. That's how they have been the god of this world and held on to it. For dear life, they are holding on to it now because they are so afraid, because there is a body rising up as never before. This body is the body of the believers. This body is the army of God. This body has the commander-in-chief of our Lord Jesus Christ, greater than any army on the earth has ever been. And Satan knows it. And he knows his time is short. But again, let's get it in agreement with God in preparation for deliverance by evoking the name of Jesus over the proceeding and ask for his guidance and protection. Ask for the mighty warring angels of God to come and war with you. And how do they war a body of Christ? As I wrote in my book, and as God revealed it to me, they war by the word of God. In other words, when you speak the word of God, they go into action, these warring angels. When you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, Satan, they go to war on your behalf. Why? Because Lord said, do as I did when I walked the face of the earth. Do as I do. When he cast out devils, he told us how to do it. He said that you shall cast out devils. You shall heal the sick. When you begin to speak these words and claim the word of God, the angels go to war on your behalf. And the word that you are speaking is the power in the name of Jesus Christ by that authority for the angels to go to work immediately. Oh, God is so good. When you read any Psalms, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The angels are there praising God with you. When you say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, the angels stand at attention to see whether or not you remember those benefits. When you say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who has forgiven all of my iniquities, the angels, the ministering angels who are heirs of salvation, come and minister unto you because they know that you understand that all your iniquity has been forgiven. When you speak the word of God, and all my soul, who has forgiven all my iniquities and have healed me of all my diseases, the angels of God go to work to heal you of all your diseases. And if you say to another, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ, that by his stripes, according to the word, you are healed. The angels go to work to heal that individual. And so you have to begin to understand that when you speak the word of God, I've been redeemed from destruction, and I am crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, and my mouth is filled with good things, and my youth is renewed as an eagle, not by an eagle, but as an eagle. Angels go to work on your behalf. So you ask in the Lord Jesus to have his power to invoke it over the proceedings, and it will be the angels of God. And then you ask for his guidance and protection, because you know that the demonic spirits are all liars and boasters. They may want to say something of you that they knew from your past to throw you off, mock you about it. But you know you have been forgiven of all your iniquities, and so therefore he can't do it. And that's why it is important to go on your knees before you go into deliverance. Lord, forgive me for every sin I have committed. You have already done it. And any sin I'm not even aware of, forgive me. Reveal it to me. Show it to me, please, so that the enemy cannot boast against me in any way whatsoever. Let the courtrooms of heaven proclaim my innocence before the evil one of Satan and his cohorts. And so the demonic spirits are all liars and boasters, full of pride and threats. Someone that is needing deliverance desperately may try to threaten you in some way or another that you don't know what you're talking about, or that isn't true, or this isn't true. Remember, the demons are liars. Be always watchful and discerning, lest at any time they will attempt to deceive you. You cannot allow this body of Christ. You cannot allow deception. You bind that spirit as soon as you feel it's coming upon you. You don't allow it to even touch you in any way of thought, mind. No, you don't let it touch you. Encourage the person now to be honest about all aspects of his sin life and about generational sin. Encourage the honesty to be there, because it isn't going to help him if it isn't there. Bind that lying spirit if you see the person is having difficulty, so you can get in there and question him or her, have understanding of what their sin life has been. This way you'll be able to minister better and more effectively, especially about generational bloodline sin, because that is such a bondage upon the human being. And mostly Christians have generational bloodline sins that they're not even aware of. That's why they continue to fall into the same trap of anger, frustration, unbelief over and